the nicest looking lacrosse facility in the country. Yeah. We're in Florida, it's a beautiful day. Why the heck not? Lacrosse capital of the South for a reason.
Yes, sir. Yeah, obviously, man, it was about 70 degrees this morning at 6 a.m. I mean, it's amazing that we get to enjoy playing. The fact that we're playing right now as much as we are. I mean, I think we all feel pretty special, pretty lucky, and pretty special to be out here as well today with you.
Had a special weekend to recap here. We had the Jacksonville Lacrosse Classic, the annual event, the 10th edition of the event, I believe, 9th or 10th, and picking up a huge, extremely impressive W over a strong Air Force program here in front of a national audience. Talk us through that game.
Yeah, first credit to your team, the external team, for the event that they put on in the midst of COVID, where some teams currently aren't having fans. We were able to host an event that we have built on for the last decade. It started before I even got here, but to have a chance even this year to make sure that we didn't lose momentum was a big deal for us in our program. To have it on national TV on the same day later that afternoon, to play a conference opponent, a team that, you know, over the history of our kind of record, we have not had a ton of success with, and to be able to win in the fashion that we did and feel like we walk off that field with a lot more to prove, really good opportunity for us. And hard to believe you only have 3 games left, but I felt like Air Force was a step in the right direction for us as a program.
You mentioned it, 3 games left in the regular season. We'll touch on that here in a second. But first, I want to hit on Jason Yoquino.
Yeah.
My goodness. The kid does nothing but block shots back there. You must feel like you're looking in a mirror at times. But 5 straight games with 10 or more saves. 6 of his 7 appearances have come with 10 or more saves. Had an odd sort of 3-save performance snuck in there somehow. But
yeah.
But just, you know, we talk about him every week, but my goodness, the second we talk about him, he does something else that wows us.
Yeah, yeah, and that 3-save game, ironically, was probably our best game defensively. You know, we only allowed 3 goals. So when you really look at the performance he's had, he's really stood out individually, along with as a unit now. I thought we gave shots Jason could catch, and I thought that was the biggest difference on Saturday. Is Jason wasn't just blocking the ball, he was catching the ball, and I think that's a credit to the shots we were giving up, number one, and then more importantly, Jason's confidence and just how good he feels back there behind that unit right now. And again, there's some really special pieces on that Air Force offense, and I think for us to hold them to 5, 2 of those goals were off of rebounds that Jason made saves on, and I think that we can even improve on that performance, and obviously we're going to have to this weekend against Richmond.
Speak to his growth as kind of a leader on the team, on the field. You know, I heard a comment in the press box while we're working the game that, man, he seems to be a little more animated than normal. He's usually pretty reserved back there.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, these last couple of games, he's been a little more jacked up. Like,
yeah.
Is he just getting more comfortable in that role?
I think, number one, performance provides confidence, no doubt. I mean, I think that the consistency of his performance has given him the belief in himself. And number two, we've asked him to do more of talking to his teammates. You know, we really asked that unit of Jack Heed and Connor Shears and Colin Hinn and Jason to be okay being the pillar of our defensive unit. And they're on the field for 60 minutes. They see everything that's going on, and the more voice that they have, the more confident our unit's going to be as a team.
And then, you know, the usual suspects up front. Matt Stagnita continues to be Matt Stagnita. Jack Dolan did Jack Dolan things. You know, 11 goals might not pop off the page, but it's enough when your defense is playing like that.
Yeah.
You know, does the offense feel that? They only need X number when the defense is playing that way?
Yeah, I thought we should just rush some shots in the first half. You know, their 10-man ride gave us some issues where we got a little bit eager when we got the ball across the midfield line. And we spent a lot of this early week talking about understanding that our offense has produced when we've given them a chance, and we don't need to take the first look, we can take the best look. And I thought Jack and Staggs, when they took a deep breath and relaxed and got us organized, those were the looks we ended up getting. But, you know, Evan had 10 shots, and not all of them fell, but I like that we're producing that many shots. And Manny Brown had a couple really good looks at the cage. And our defensive unit, again, another pole who had a shot on the doorstep. And can we learn how to capitalize and hit those shots to make it a 15-5 game versus 11-5 game? And you know, that's what we get to come back and go to practice this Monday.
Looking ahead now. Big one this weekend. You get to go play at Richmond, the Spiders, who've been traditionally a team that sort of runs the league a little bit with High Point and Air Force in various years, but Richmond's always right there. It's on the field where the SoCon tournament will be played in a little less than a month now. Mm-hmm. Speak to this matchup coming up here.
Yeah, from a micro level, obviously it's our next game, and it's our opportunity to go 4-0 in the conference, and another chance for us to increase our chances of getting the number one seed in the conference. From a more macro level, you're playing a top 20 team that we have not beaten. It's a team that our seniors are very hungry to go improve themselves. And it's just a game that, you know, you always kind of circle on the calendar because you know it's really a measuring test for where you are that year. And they've done such a good job of being a consistent performer in our conference that we have to meet and exceed that level. And this week has had a little bit more tension, a little bit more focus to detail, because they're a team that you have to be fundamentally sound. You have to play 60 minutes. You can't take a quarter off against them. And we're going to do it at a place where we hope to be at in 3 weeks. And this will be a great opportunity for us to practice what championship caliber lacrosse looks like.
You know, three games left, two of them against, you know, traditionally top 20 programs. The third against a team you've already seen this year in Bellarmine. Really a unique stretch to close things out as we get the effects of an outdoor broadcast here with the siren going by. But, you know, it speaks to that unique stretch where you've got these two, you know, high-level programs and the program you've already seen this year that is surely to have improved since you saw them last.
Yeah, unique. Really unique in that all of them are conference games specifically. You know, two of them are on the road against, you know, perennial top 20 teams, one being this weekend. And having a chance to celebrate our seniors against Bellarmine 2 weeks from now, you know, we really do have to focus on what we can do to take one step better each week. I mean, I look at this truly as a mountain, and we've compared it and used that as an analogy, but can we just become a little bit better over the next 6 days? And what does that product look like on Saturday against Richmond? And then let's do it again versus Bellarmine, because, you know, I think all of us, we don't beat around the bush about what we want to accomplish here in a conference championship and playing in the NCAA tournament. But to do that, it really is this ascension from now until May 5th and hopefully May 7th. And are we really playing our best lacrosse then? And that is a constant hunger to just be a little bit better each week. I thought we have probably seen that really even from VMI to Robert Morris, although the results didn't show, and then Robert Morris to Air Force. Can we do that again three more times? And if we do, then it means we're playing our best lacrosse in May, and that's the goal.
How much do you talk about the 3-0 aspect of it? Is that something you let creep in, or is that, you know, just sort of one of those things that's just there and you deal with it as you deal with it?
No, we lean into it pretty heavily. I mean, we know going into this part of the season, those wins are what matters. You know, the out-of-conference is great. It prepares you well. It taught us a lot of lessons. But 3-0 is our goal. At this moment in the beginning of the year, 3-0 is our goal in the conference. And our goal now is to be 4-0. And we do talk about that. We don't beat around the bush. And we know that ultimately we're playing for seeding. We're playing for the opportunity to win a regular season championship. We're playing for the opportunity to play into May and to earn another week as a team. And, you know, we are certainly not going to shy away from the fact that if you win this game, you put yourself in a really good position.
Well, Coach, last point I want to make here, the 88 Club was out in droves this weekend, you know, which I'm sure was exciting for them to be able to have a little bit of an environment here and to see the guys after a little bit of a stretch here. Just speak to the impact that the 88 Club is having.
Oh, I mean, significant. And those people show up every week. They show up rain or shine. They show up home and away. They support our program both financially, you know, intangibly with all the things that they provide our guys. You know, you don't have a program unless you have people around and outside the program that support you. Anything other than that is just a team. And when you're building a program, you need those people to really believe in what we're doing, number one, and then to support us. And support us in hard times, like they did against Duke and North Carolina, and in really good times, like Air Force this past Saturday. And we hope to make some more good times than bad over the next 3 weeks. But regardless of what happens, I know that the backing and support of the 88 Club is going to continue to be there. And we're just very lucky to have those type of people behind us.
Anything you want to leave us with on the way out here?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, I think our alums are excited about this game. I think our players are excited about this. I think that there is a level of urgency now when you get into April. I mean, the fact that it's going to be April 17th on Saturday, and we didn't even know if we were going to have a season 3 months ago. And now we're playing game 11 against a top 20 team to go 4-0, to put yourself in the driver's seat. I don't know if life gets much better than it does right now, and it's just our chance to be able to prove some people wrong this Saturday.
Hard to argue life can get much better when you're sitting out here in a day like this.
You're right.
So with that, Coach, from the beautiful front porch of the Rock Lacrosse Center, thanks for hanging out with us. And this has been another edition of In the Crease Podcast brought to you by Baptist Health.
See you next week, Matt. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
Killed it.